Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands
where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. Unfortunately, again, I am without my co-host, Miss 100%. She is not feeling well. And as I've been saying all week, we want you guys to shoot her some love. So you can go to the Smooth Drama site, click on her link, shoot Miss 100% some love. She need all the love and prayer she can get. I ain't saying she's dying. I'm just saying that she's not feeling well. So we, of course, want to dedicate tonight's show to Miss 100% and to her getting better, because that's very important to us here over at Smooth Drama. When I say us, that would be me and her, because I'll assume that she wants to get better also. So if you want to holler at me, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, call-in number 646-929-2037 is the call-in. As I said earlier, I encourage you to go to the Smooth Drama site, join the Yahoo group. If you want to social network with me, I'm on Facebook. I'm Smooth Drama there, as well as Twitter. I'm Smooth Drama. My yearbook tag, Dick Hugger. Dick Hugger, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk a taste on anything. You know, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm all over the place, and I like to have philosophical debates with my brethren, because I think a little social discourse is a good thing. Some people don't believe in that. They believe that, hey, my opinion is the only opinion. I've never believed that. And I hope you out there listening don't believe that. Another thing I hope you're not believing in is this African killer bee nonsense. You know, I couldn't believe when I saw an article where they're saying that a Tennessee beekeeper was attacked by a swarm of 100,000 Africanized killer bees. And I'm saying to myself, really, we still on this? We still on the vicious Africanized bees? I don't know if any of you remember, but say about a decade ago, the rage was, oh, the Africanized killer bees, they're migrating over to the States. And when they get here, everyone's going to die. We're going to get stung. They're going to... And nothing happened. They're just bees. As we all know, if you go around bees, you're trying to mess with the honey, whatnot, they will sting you. Or if they are just flying around you, they may sting you just because you're looking stupid. That's the luck of the draw with bees. Ain't no rhyme or reason to it. Y'all know the deal. So when I hear this whole Africanized, or as they were referred to, killer bees, I'm like, oh Lord, here we go again. Can we please get off that? Please. If not, if you still on that, you stupid. But I am not going to get into that. I heard some great news. Herman Cain came out and was like, hey, I want to be vice president. I'm open to the conversation. And I'm sitting up here like, yes, can we get Herman Cain back in? If Herman Cain is back on the scene, I am watching every vice presidential debate. It is on and popping. I mean, have y'all been paying attention to the Republican debates? I mean, I've watched a couple of them. Generally, they lack any drama. There's no, they had like 45 of them, and nothing was really going on. But Herman Cain coming back, hey, it's on. Mitt, let me holla at you. I'm telling you, if you have Herman Cain as your vice presidential candidate, you may not get the black vote, but at least you'll have us watching. I know I'm watching. I know me and the homies, we love Herman Cain. That's funny ass dude. I'm saying, if you want to add a little drama to it, because I think Herman Cain can win a couple of debates, because he'll say some stuff that's so retarded that Joe Biden wouldn't even be able to answer back. He's stuck tongue-tied. I'm saying, add a little theater. Herman Cain for vice president. That's my vote. I'm excited now. I don't know about anybody. I am genuinely excited. The fact that my boy Herman Cain was back. I mean, because I was following it. I was religiously following it. I mean, he's quoting Pokemon. He's saying all kinds of retarded stuff. I mean, it was, and see, he made it where Rick Perry would start saying stupid stuff. And to top him, Rick Santorum starts saying some ignorant stuff. And it goes the reason that if Herman Cain is back on the scene, Joe Biden may have to say something stupid. Just because Herman Cain has raised the stupidity level. And he's got a mustache. I'm saying, we need somebody with a mustache. That's all. He don't have to be qualified. Yeah, he sold pieces. And he's all about writing a book and being famous. But hey, Ronald Reagan was an actor. He's president. George Bush, whichever, y'all know which one, the son, he disappeared for a few years. He was not the sharpest tool in the shed. He's the president. So, hey, can Herman Cain be vice president? At least he may be able to spell tomato, unlike some vice presidents in the past. But that's a whole nother argument. And supposedly, since Rick Santorum has dropped out and we won't get to hear any more ignorant stuff from him, there's supposedly now a war going on over women, because women are supposedly the key demographic in this vote off. So you look at it, they want the women vote. So in one corner, you got Barack Obama, black. I guess he's handsome, depending on who you're talking to. I don't swing that way, but whatever. And Mitt Romney, the ultimate bachelor. Well, he's not a bachelor, but since he's Mormon, he's always available, ladies. So you got a chance. And he's a multi-billionaire. So, hey, that's your choices. Forget the politics, because basically, as we all know, politicians will say and do anything to get your vote. So basically, we looking at the key factors that make these guys who they are. I mean, we all know Barack Obama, first black president. He can shoot a basketball. Y'all know, y'all done seen him. He can bust a three. He got a nice little left-handed crossover J. You know, his wife is hot. She stays in shape. He stays in shape. And once again, he can hit a jumper. He's kind of smart, too. So, boom. Qualifications for the president. Qualifications for Mitt Romney. He's rich. He's Mormon. So, you got a chance on being an extra wife if you believe in that kind of thing. I mean, he's rich. And he'll pretty much do or say anything you want because he's a rich politician. Don't that make sense? That's your choice. Now, obviously, nobody knows who Joe Biden is, so you're not really looking at vice presidential candidate. But if Mitt Romney picks Herman Cain, think about that for a second. If something was to happen to Mitt Romney, if he just happened to win the election, Herman Cain could be president. Can you imagine what would happen if America had two black presidents in a row? Not to mention the fact that Herman Cain would be president. Would you not pay money to see Herman Cain as president? I would pay money to see Herman Cain as president. I would never miss a State of the Union address. Anytime he's ready to speak on anything, I'm there. I mean, this is Herman Cain. You don't know what the hell come out of his mouth. So think about them choices. I'm torn because, as you know, Barack Obama, he's going to get the races to come out, and people are going to say all kinds of ignorant stuff, which is always funny because y'all ignorant and you can't help it. But at the same time, I know it's my pipe dream. Herman Cain as vice president. Hey, you can't tell me he wouldn't be the most watched vice president in American history. Because you know he's going to do something ill. He's going to be caught sneaking around, hitting it in the back seat of the car or something. I'm just saying. People are talking about, I mean, we own politics. People are talking about protesting. You know, it's been this been the so-called year of the protest. You know, we got the Occupy movements, whatnot. As people who are talking about protesting the NRA convention, which is in St. Louis this year. And they want to protest the NRA because the NRA is not just about guns, but about policies that allow guns into the mainstream, which, I mean, I see arguing back and forth. What I'm not quite understanding is why would you protest against people who have guns? I mean, I'll let that settle in for a minute. You're going to protest, or you're going to go to a protest in St. Louis where there's going to be over, 60, 70,000 people all strapped and ready to go. Some of them probably going to get a little liquored up, ready to defend themselves if you start tripping. Protest-wise, I'm saying it may not be a good idea to physically protest the NRA in St. Louis at the St. Louis Convention Center. Probably not a good idea, but hey, if you do it, I know some of y'all is tough like that. I'm proud of you. And keep up the good fight. Fight the power. I myself would sign the internet petition. I'm not really thinking of protesting the NRA at the NRA convention with all their members there strapped. Just don't seem like a good idea, but I could be wrong. Or maybe I'm just a coward. I don't know. Some people look at it like it's a cowardly act, me not wanting to protest against the NRA. But I think if you want to protest against the NRA, you might want to just protest against your own politicians by voting their ass out. But that's just me, because political activism, it ain't really all that important, right? Your communities, they don't matter. Or you can do like my man DJ Rockmo said, just kill the feed. And on that note, we gonna go on break here. This is my homie DJ Rockmo representing Kill the Feed. Yeah.
Criteria for these bacteria, parasitic, nepotistic, inferior messages on your movie screen and your TV set, whether NBC or CBS. And if you don't connect to it, you a threat to it. So I express through it, so I can get through it. And kill the speed when I feel the need. Kind of slow roll back, then kill the speed. We will succeed, just a matter of time. A small portion of Jacob's ladder to climb. The strategy activating your learning capacity. Your passion.
Clandestine, Kill the Feed. sometimes you got to do that when they're talking that foolishness, that mainstream foolishness. You got to cut the feed, cut the TV off, read a little something. That's all. Read never hurt nobody. At least read something besides Superhead and all these other magazines telling you or giving you advice on who loves you and how they love you and why they don't love you or like you or how to make people like you. You want to make people like you? Go outside and say hi. Speak to people. Talk to folks. You'd be surprised. They'll talk back sometime unless you got some of that green stuff in your nose, but that's a whole nother, yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. Anyway, right now, we're going to get into the hater of the week. Hater of the week is a staple here. We hate haters. And when I say we hate haters, we hate people who hate on folks who make sense or do stuff that is senseless. Like, is a drunken 42-year-old Randall Keith Rumfelt, who lives, well, I won't say who he lives with, but he jumped on John Edward Pack, who is a 24-year-old disabled man. Why does Randall Keith Rumfelt jump on John Edward Pack? Hell, why am I saying all three of their names? Anyway, Mr. Rumfelt jumps on Mr. Pack because he took his Playboy magazine. It's mine. No, I'm going to look at it. No, give me the Playboy. He beat on a disabled 24-year-old handicapped over a Playboy magazine. That is hate. You living with the Mr. Pack's mother. That's the living situation. So I figure, hey, you living with mom, you hitting his mom, you shouldn't be hitting him too. I'm just saying, instead of fighting the son over the magazine, you should go and talk to your woman and lay hands on her in a good way. I mean, that's what I'd have done. The whole, hey, I gotta have your Playboy magazine and assault the disabled man, broke his rib, broke his eye socket, gave him neck injuries. It's a sad day when magazines are more important than the actual person. How do we get this far? I mean, besides the fact that he's a hater, when do magazines and movies and stuff replace the real people? I tell you. And there's no Playboy magazine, Hustler, porn video, whatever gets you off more important than the actual feel of a woman. Just me. I mean, I got a choice. Playboy magazine or you, the female? Hey, I can already tell you what I'm choosing. Every day of the week, year, decade, millennium, that's what it is. But that's me. That's why, Mr. Rumfelt, you are a hater, and I hope you go to jail and they treat you very nicely there. I'm sure they have plenty of magazines there that you can go through. They may be a little bit sticky, but Once you've gone through I believe they call it prison hazing, then you probably get to all the magazines you want. Anyway, speaking of stuff that is really important, as a conspiracy theorist, I always look at things that seem rather innocent, but hold a different connotation in my mind. Like, right here in California, the Supreme Court ruled that employers are under no obligation to ensure their workers take legally mandated lunch breaks. Now, it sounds cool, because the so-called unanimous opinion came after workers' attorneys argued that abuses are routine and widespread when companies aren't required to issue direct orders to take the breaks. They claim that employers take advantage of workers who don't want to leave colleagues during busy times. Now, that sounds innocent, right? But now, okay, you don't have to ensure a lunch break. So where do you come down on management if people don't take lunches? There's no mechanism now. The precedent is set that, hey, I can refuse your lunch, but I'm not responsible for making sure that you went to lunch. It's a big difference. Because I can imply, hey, if you go to lunch, it might not be good for you. You legally, according to this law now, can't really challenge me because you have to prove it. He say, she say. And we all know when it comes to resources, the corporation, who is a bigger person than the individual employee, who is a little person, since corporations are now people. Now imagine this corporation, this huge corporation, and who was a person, coincidentally, against the little person. Yeah. I wanted to go to lunch, but I was dissuaded from going to lunch. Who's to argue? Because the employer said, hey, the Supreme Court said we didn't have to. So we're under no obligation to make sure that you take a legally mandated lunch break. I don't even see how this can come up. Because if lunch is legally mandated already, hey, it's legal. I don't know. I mean, if anybody is forced to take lunch, that's their issue. But the majority of us, we want to take lunch. I mean, I don't know. It seems like there's some tomfoolery going on here. But whether or not people get called for it and what are the implications down the line, you know, for you 8 to 5 people that hour lunch that you're promising there goes to 8 to 5. Oh, yeah, we gave you a lunch. You just chose not to take it. I mean, you see how that goes. Anyone who worked understand that dynamic, that you're all of a sudden you're working 9 hours and getting paid for 8 because you're not going to lunch. Hey. I'm hoping somebody will take a look at that, because I'm guessing in the next 5 years, it's going to come up. Just an educated guess. It's going to come up. Something that did come up that I am not feeling, and maybe I'll take some heat for it. I don't give a damn. There's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered school, that a high school that's opened up in Arizona. And I don't understand why is there a designated sexuality school. I mean, so we have a lesbian and gay school so that they can be free from bullies. But if I'm not mistaken, did we not during the so-called civil rights era have to integrate people into the system, black folks into the system? So now you're going to voluntarily segregate people because of their sexual orientation so that they won't get bullied. Like, there are no gay bullies. I'm not understanding this. It makes no sense whatsoever to have a school, you know, because of bullying. And I know bullying is a problem. I mean, but when has bullying not ever been a problem? So the basic solution is, hey, we're going to have a school that addresses this. So now, all of a sudden, there's going to be lesbian and gay schools popping up all over the place. And this is going to be legal. And so, what if the education, and see, throw this out there for a second. What if the education, what if the education is so good at this school and they're churning out great students that people who are going to schools that are terrible, they are not achieving, decide as a heterosexual they want to go to this school. They don't give a damn about the sexual orientation. They just want to go to the school. Will they be allowed to go? Probably not. And this is not a sexuality issue. This is a common sense issue. I don't understand why you gotta have a segregated school. I never understood all boys schools. I never understood all girls schools. I'm not feeling it. It makes no sense to me. And I wouldn't and couldn't understand a lesbian, gay, transsexual school. There's no logic in it. No matter what your orientation, somebody's going to pick on you. That's just what it is. Maybe y'all disagree with me. I don't know. But that's what it is. It's all about disagreement. Some people will say, hey, well, why are you tripping on the lesbian school? It's not that they're homosexual. It's the fact that you have a separate school. So now all of a sudden we go back to the, well, they have their separate school, we want our separate school. So now everybody's gonna go for the whole separate school. And then, as we all know, that at separate and unequal comes back in full force. I mean, it's bad enough in the hood already. And see, I'm coming from a hood perspective. It's bad enough in the hood already with teachers who have low expectations for kids. Now all of a sudden, you'll have segregated schools. I mean, neighborhoods are already segregated as it is. So you'll have these segregated schools set up because this is another precedent that it's not about sexuality. It's about the fact that you have a school that's set for a certain group. If people don't see how bad that is, I don't have to argue it because we already know who's going to end up at the bottom and where the worst teacher is going to end up. Well, I would say worst teachers. I'll say the teachers who don't have high expectations for the kids. Don't think because of the stereotype that kids can't learn from certain areas. And they carry that out, that belief. And thus you have the self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm just saying, that's what it sounds like to me. And that's what happened, you know, because that's what happens when people start making orders and designating separateness for themselves. I mean, sort of like, on a lighter note, there's a man who, Charles Ferguson, who had to give up his goat. Now, it may not seem like the same argument for against the separation of a school, but my argument is, why can't the man have a goat? You can have a dog, but you can't have a goat. Goats eat grass. I mean, as a homeowner, someone who has to cut their own grass and weeds and all that, I could use a goat. Goats eat the grass. Dogs shit in the grass. I've not heard about wild goat attacks, but I've heard about many wild dog attacks. Now, I hear people who will say, well, it's a goat, but how many cases of vicious goats have you heard of? Just goats roaming the streets, taking people out, taking a bite out of their ass or whatnot. It's generally not the case. But my man had to give up his goat down there in South Carolina. Does it make sense? Nah. But I guess it's not about making sense. It's just the fact that, well, hey, it's a goat and we say so. But why? Why? Why can I have this, but I can't have that? Those are the questions. I mean, I have a question. What's important to you? Sort of like in China, there's a young man who sold his kidney for an iPhone and an iPad. Not, you know, for us here in America, these things are just expected. And for the most part, no matter how poor you are, you can be rolling around with your iPhone, your iPad, and it's normal. I mean, over there, the poorer parts of the world, these things are seen as major luxuries, and they have to have them. And so we have a young man, only identified by his name, Wang, who received about $3,000 for his kidney. He was recruited for this trade through an online chat room. And it was discovered when his mama noticed that he had an iPad and an iPhone. And he ended up suffering from a renal failure because he had sold his kidney. The question is, are these artifacts so important that you would give up a vital organ for them so you can play a game? Now, normally, I would talk about this under the terms of we do the whole when reality should be fantasy. But then you look at the circumstances and you say, this isn't even about when reality should be fantasy. This is about when perception should make sense. No matter what, I mean, even in the poorest of poor situations, you have individuals who think that an iPad, iPhone is more important than the body that they live in functioning correctly. Now, you think about that when you have these big screen TVs, rims on your car, but you eat garbage day in and day out. The quality of your food is not important to you, but the quality of your stuff is. You got the $100 shoes. You'll pay $100 for a purse. I mean, your wardrobe is fantastic, but your food choices, not as much. Now, I asked the question, yeah, the body on the outside looked awesome. I mean, ladies, you know, you have certain outfits. You got the heels, the boots, you got the thongs, you got the tights. That shit is lovely. We can't see the inside. We can see the outside. We can appreciate it. But at the same time, we're appreciating your outside, but your inside is not working right. What's more important? I don't know. That's up for you to decide. And on that note, I'm going to take a break here. This is Roz Kaz, The Great Recession.
It is all out war on the productive class in our society for the benefit of the lucha class,
the makers and the takers.
The raccoons, they're not stupid. They're not saying they're going to do it easy way. They make it easy for them, just like welfare recipients all across America.
Welfare will create a generation of utterly irresponsible animals.
Fighting with rats. Gaddafi with a knife up his ass. Gun to the temple with glass. Sizzle with bad. Might switch up the temple with fad. Either occupy Wall Street or get you some cash. Talk wars in the middle week and get you some gas. And if you're not the 1%, you get you some class. I mean, get you some Adderall. Pay attention. The middle class slaves pay the wage to the rich. Corporations outsourced to China. Jobs missing. Emerald raked away. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Drones explode on homes to quench oil addiction. No correcting the system. Economic nepotism. A rural affliction. Listen. Kill the old, poor, and non-white. The mission of evangelical Christians. If he sold no conviction. Police state. Debtors prison. Cause capitalism today is high tech religion. 700 billion bailing banks out of charge. Families evicted out their homes, living under tar. CEOs with $1 million bonuses and black hearts. So I'm jumping out the water like a great white shark. Pentagon creates tsunamis in Haiti, so take off. I'm still trying to learn how to break down a blunt. Roll it with one hand. Dirty old man, governing, father, child, my name like Conan. Growing afro and handy, looking like Soul Man. Kick shit, like don't mess with his old hand. Argue with my girl overhead, like a low hand. Then enough load to make a vomit over snowman. Blow job for snow hands, equal romance. Call it the good old days. Way, way back in 2007. Before the stock market crashed and burned dead, I went to heaven. I mean prison. Before the Great Recession, when the country knew we had an idiot for president, before when BD assaulted Iraq war veterans. Currently unemployed, our money no good, the currency is unemployed. In Greece, people riot in the streets. We so underground, I'm a Leviathan on beats. Wall Street gambles your pensions to sell shares. Ask for justice, they call it class warfare. $700 billion bailing banks out of charge. Families evicted out their homes, living under tar.
together you guys. Smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Roscoe, The Great Recession. But wait, it gets worse. Lazy folk getting money, and the people who do the work not getting money. Makes no sense, but I guess that's what it is. And speaking of what it is, it's time to break out our dumbass of the week. Yeah, and our dumbass of the week is a classic. It's out of my favorite state of Florida there. A man who, I mean, this is one of the dumbest people on earth, and I'm not going to just say he's dumb. I'm going to talk about the whole Florida court system that actually let him bring this to court. And nobody didn't just lock him in solitary confinement and throw water on him and shoot him with tasers. I mean, this is a man who is a convicted drunk driver who killed two people in a crash that he caused by rear-ending their SUV, 2007. So, David Belniak is, I guess, having second thoughts, and he decided after spending a few years in jail, hopefully getting raped. Yeah, I hoped it. He decided that he's going to sue his victims who he killed for damages. And he wants the family to pay for his pain, suffering, mental anguish, and the loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life, and the medical bills he got as a result of the crash he pled guilty to causing. Yeah, he's for real. That's Florida. I don't know nowhere else where you can roll, you let that roll off the tip of your tongue. Florida, yeah, I killed two people. I'm going to sue them because they ruined my life when I killed them. Follow that logic for a minute. Yeah, that's what they do in the Florida system. They allow people to actually bring this to court. Once again, I say when people bring stuff, I mean, when they mention stuff like that, you're supposed to just throw them in solitary, throw water on them and shoot them with a taser like every 2 hours. They wake up, you know. I mean, yeah, some people say that's torture, but I say it's not. I say it's what should happen when people just talk stupid like that. Taser. Yeah. Right in the nutsack. Anyway. Now, I was reading, you know, they're talking about shelters and how there's a record number of homeless people out there, people that are doing bad, whatnot. Guess in Arizona, the Child Protective Services there had the means or didn't worry about the means to place the children that CPS had into shelters. But as of now, the shelters are so packed, crowded, that some of these CPS children can't be placed there. And I guess group homes, orphanages, they're too full also. Now, some folks, that may seem like a shock, but for people who make sense of stuff, I mean, yeah, if the country's doing bad, people are out of jobs, they have no way of supporting themselves, they're homeless, and there are more homeless out there because there are less jobs out there, and then, hey, you're going to have these situations. I mean, to me, it's a story. It's a sad story. But it's only a story because the people here still refuse to make those in charge accountable for taking care of the everyday citizen. I mean, we have situations where people have extra houses. They have their summer house because they like these representatives. Your representatives, they get all the free health care that they want for life because they served. When in all actuality, they can afford to take care of themselves and their family. Why should the taxpayers be paying for that? I mean, if anything, money should not be going toward politicians and their children, being that they have the means to take care of themselves. Some of that money should be going towards social welfare. And when I say social welfare, I'm talking about programs that invest back into the communities where people can get job skills and job creation, rebuilding the community and hiring people in them communities to rebuild the communities through the skills that are taught to them. I mean, it makes sense to me, but politicians won't vote for this because, hey, that takes away their benefits. I mean, we give benefits to people for life who can afford to take care of themselves. We always talk about welfare, but nobody talks about this as welfare. This is welfare. When you give folks stuff for free, I mean, your congressman, your senator, your city councilman, what kind of work do they do? I mean, are they working hard for you? Are they out there doing hard manual labor for you, the citizen? I think not. I don't think they're building nothing in your community. They say, well, we're out there fighting for you. I mean, if we look at the records of your senator, congressman, city council person, do they vote on all the amendments? You go to their office, half the time their ass is not even there. I mean, where's the bang for your buck? And how come they're getting all these bucks, but it doesn't translate to helping out in your neighborhood? Because if little kids don't have a place to stay, but politicians and their families have vacation homes, I'm thinking there's something wrong with the balance in the system. Just a little bit. Most folks won't think of it as a welfare issue because welfare only goes to poor folks, not rich people. When in fact, the reality is they just rename it. Presidents, Congress people, they get benefits for life. They ain't earned benefits for life. I mean, I've never heard when you leave a job, you keep getting the benefits of having the job, even though you're not doing the job for life. That doesn't make sense to me. But hey, I'm the conspiracy theorist. I think there's an issue there when folks fight against the very things that they should be fighting for. Your politicians will tell you that you shouldn't have it, yet they have it. Universal health care, your politician has it. All of the politicians have health care. It comes with the job. Their family, who don't work, are covered by you out of your pocket. Open up your wallet, open up your purse, and drop some change out. Coming up here this great IRS day, we know most people have filed their taxes, whatnot. But as we all know, this is the year that we ante up to pay your oppressor. Break him off a piece of that change in your pocket. Welfare. For life. They get it for life. Where's yours? I mean, is it important? I mean, I talked about Scott Walker, who's going to get welfare for life also. Benefits that you pay for in Wisconsin, he repealed the equal pay law. They say it's on the low, but everybody knows about it. You just don't want to talk about it. Because common people ain't important. Equal rights and equal pay ain't important to you. Equal services. Health is not important. Health, anyone? Healthcare? No, it's not important. I guess not. That's what's sad. The day when the common man doesn't deserve is the day that, you know, we've all turned a blind eye and we all need LASIK, because our collective LASIK is not working. The eyesight, our glasses, they must be broken. I see a society that is lopsided. The wealthy get wealthier and the poor get poorer. And it's all good. And on that note, I want to thank y'all for listening. Be on the lookout for that Smooth Drama Sperm Foundation coming to a city near you. And on that note, you guys have a good one. I'm Dick Hunger, a.k.a. After Earword. We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.